Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domain Sherpa. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a down the rabbit hole called Knives Out with Fred Sue, featuring Drew, Shane, and Fred, who's the co-founder and CEO of D3, a cutting-edge domain business focused on unlocking the power of existing and future domains as tokenized real-world assets. So on the show, we talk about what that means, as well as some of Fred's history as an OG domain industry vet, and also their Dominion conference that's taking place later this month, right after the upcoming ICA meeting in Las Vegas. So the ICA meeting is January 26th to the 28th, and then Dominion will be happening January 29th to the 30th. Both will be at Resorts World, and should be great times and opportunities to learn and network. So get going on all that if you have not already done so. Yeah. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at DomainSherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at DS.TV. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. So definitely check all that out. And huge shout out to DNWE, short for Domain Name Wholesale Exchange. It's a trading platform designed specifically for domain investors, streamlining the process of buying and selling domains to make it quicker and easier. With a community of over 3,500 investors, DNWE enhances market liquidity, facilitating more efficient transactions with standard domain listings, reverse auctions, standard auctions, and soon to be added portfolio auctions, which will include traffic portfolios. DNWE is part of EW3N, a family-run digital asset investment company based in London, England, that also operates DomainManage.com, which is a global sales platform, and Brandable.UK, which is a marketplace for UK and co.UK domains. Yeah. And shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on chain and access crypto investors with 3% commissions at cost renewals and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated. They're a cutting edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep costs down. And for domainers with large portfolios, go ahead and email Brady at unstoppabledomains.com. Fill up his inbox and see if you qualify for their free transfer in promo. And last but certainly not least, shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world, year after year, six, maybe seven. We'll find out very soon and find out more about us at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain names and domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and of course, domain investing. Now, with all that, it's time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. So come jump down the rabbit hole with us and let's go. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, and I'm the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's show is part of our Down the Rabbit Hole series, because as we say on Domain Sherpa, all roads lead to domains. And in the reverse, our work in domains has us venturing all the time into different areas and topics, some domain-related, some not-so-domain-related, hence the jump down the rabbit hole. This particular show, got to give a big shout-out to my homegirl, to our homegirl, Jen Sale, who's part of kind of the group that helped found this thing and get it going, and we've been doing it ever since. And we describe it as a tech adjacent digital asset pop culture tangent positive podcast with some domain stuff thrown in for good measure. So today, super excited, we have an absolute domain OG, the one and only Fred Sue. I got AKAs, we got the whole thing. I'm gonna come around robin and get to you, but I'm just letting everybody know we're going to talk about Fred, what Fred's deal is, some of his history, and what he's got going on in the space with D3 and otherwise, which is exciting stuff. D3 is building the future of internet infrastructure and tokenization, Web3, and just some really, really cool things around domains. So as a disclaimer, Drew is actually an investor in D3, so I want to get that kind of out of the way up front. So it's kind of a related thing, and but Drew's invested in a lot of stuff, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, I got to literally do that disclaimer every single show. But anyway, with that, let's go ahead and introduce the Sherpas. Over to my right, I got my boy, Andrew Rosner, the one and only, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. every Rosner has its thorn, a.k.a. Greybeard, the Domain Pirate. What's going on, man? How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I'm great. I had a great break. I reluctantly went into the cold Bavarian winter, and it went a lot better than expected. Did a little skiing, which I hadn't done in a long time. I didn't get injured. I skied pretty damn well for my own accord. Taught my kids how to ski. My son had never really even seen snow before, so it was a trip. We had a good time, and it was very cold. I think I don't even know, but it was cold, very cold. But we had good weather. We ate well. We stayed in a great place. Did a little skiing. Saw some family. And so great trip, great trip. And
All right.
back in the saddle, ready to, tear one off in 2025. I have a feeling it's going to be
Go.
a very good year all around.
We're all the way
Lots of
live in
fireworks. Yeah.
2025. Let's go.
Looking
All right.
forward. Looking forward.
I dig it. I dig it. All right, man. Cool. Well, welcome back. And all right, let's keep it moving down to my lower right. We got my boy Shane Coulter, aka Sugar Shane, aka Honey Shane, aka Mike Rowe, aka Blame It on the Shane, aka House of Shane, aka the Culture Personality, aka Doing It for the Culture, aka In Shane in the Membrane, aka In Shane in the Blockchain, aka Chain Chain Chain. What's up, man? How you living?
I'm doing good, man. I mean, it's life is good. Family's healthy. Like Drew said, a little bit of traveling, play with the dog. Like it's good. It's all good. That's
All right.
just I'm looking forward to 25. Like 24 was pretty good. 25 is lots of opportunity. That's all you can ask
Say
for.
all the way live in 2025. Let's get it. Okay. Then last but certainly not least, the man of the hour below me, we got my boy Fred Sue, aka Hey Hey Fred, aka Right Said Fred. I'm too sexy for domains, aka Freddie Got Fingered, aka Brooklyn Sue, aka a boy named Sue, aka you don't like it? Sue me. Fred is the CEO and co-founder of D3 with over 2 decades in the tech industry. He's been instrumental in scaling multiple companies and successful outcomes. Co-founder and CTO of Oversee.net, pioneering the standard for many domain-related services, including aftermarket brokerage, web hosting, ad placement, parking, and other stuff that everybody uses today that we all take for granted. Fred was part of some of the backbone foundational stuff in the domain space, going all the way back, UCLA, I mean, West Coast all day. Fred, welcome to the show, man. First time on. How you living?
Thanks for having me. And thanks for the aliases too. I was hoping I was not going to be the only one without a great little name.
Oh,
Thanks for
no,
calling them
man, you
all
don't come on this show without getting some AKAs, you know what
out.
I'm saying? So it's and one of them, Hey Hey Fred, is actually your Twitter handle. So anybody who's trying to find Fred online can find him at Hey Hey Fred. And any significance to that, or was that just something you thought was kind of cool or whatever, catchy?
Hey, friend was taken, so it's got to be hey, hey, Fred.
Hey, I like it, man. That's what's up. All right, man. Well, look, so like I said at the intro, this is our kind of a rabbit hole. We wanted to you and I mean, obviously, we've known each other. You've been in the space for a long, long time, truly an OG. So just to talk a little bit about your sort of past and history and all that good stuff. I mean, so was Oversee your first foray officially into domains back in the day?
Yeah, it was right out of college, right around 2000 at the dot-com bust. Needed
Okay.
to pay the bills, needed to make money. So
All
we
right.
started overseas.
Oh, very cool. So what was it that drew you to domains? Was it just the folks that that you founded Oversee with? Was it that there was something about obviously domains, the backbone of the internet, like just the timing.
It was a number of factors. It was this is mostly around 2000, 2001. We actually got the original deal with an original deal with Yahoo, formerly known as Overture, formerly known as GoTo.com. Me and my co-founder previously started a bunch of SEO projects. I was making money through SEO and click arbitrage in college, in fact. And so we thought, you know what? Let's partner with the GoTo, which is up here right in Pasadena. I'm in East LA today, but up in Pasadena, they gave us the first affiliate deal, a link. And so we thought, let's figure out ways to systematize this and expand our traffic base. We bumped into domainers, this whole domain industry, probably like in late 01, early 02. Just around the same time, we met this little company pre-IPO, their name, little startup, they were called Google. Bunch of scrappy people trying to
Who
basically make it.
was your first
Yeah.
parking client? or arbitrage?
You know, I'm inclined to say a guy who owned Goggle. His name was John something. Yeah, he actually came to our office in Spring Street here in downtown LA, right next to Skid Row. He actually visited the office, so I think that really stuck with me. Showed personal interest. Richard Lau came over to our original office too. I just saw him the other night. It was like, oh yeah, he came to our first one. So yeah, our first parking clients were that kind of higher tier, generic ish. Making money on affiliate links before, but now, hey, let's figure out a way to kind of systematize it. And after that, O2, we met a bunch of Google people. They're like, we want high volume, consistent, high quality traffic. And we just snowballed things, got to meet a lot of domainers, got to get into the whole domain conferences, the whole domain industry. Worked till 5 a.m. some nights, pumping out code. I slept on a couch next to 60 buzzing servers that I manually pieced together from the Pomona computer fair. That was really fun because I'd done a lot of the stuff in college. Yeah, and we got it going. So,
and they say EMF radiation is bad for you.
Yeah, we actually had a family of pigeons who slept underneath the air conditioner, window-mounted air conditioner. I felt really bad. Evacuating at one point, but at some point it just got really distracting. Feathers would get into our air conditioning system and start affecting the servers that ran domain sponsored, right? That was 02, 03. But yeah, things kind of snowballed probably between 03 to 06, 07. And so it was a really fun time.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, when we talked, I mean, a lot of you guys were at the Playboy Mansion and, you know, some of those old, you know, traffic conferences and I mean, you guys all go way back. And we'll talk a little bit. You guys have an upcoming conference coming up, which is the D3 Dominion tacked on basically right at the end of the ICA in Vegas, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, one of your taglines when you guys were like, hey, come to the conference, no Legionnaires disease, you know, which, you know, you only know if you were an OG domainer. I actually wasn't even at that. I didn't get Legionnaires disease from the Playboy Mansion, which is
somehow I got it and my wife didn't. I don't know how that worked because I was with her the whole night, but I don't know. I got it.
I think you only get it through airborne. I don't think you pass it. I'm not positive, but my wife.
We know where it came from. It came from the mist machine that was on the dance floor.
Yeah.
It had been sitting in an old shed. It had been sitting in an old shed and it had, you know, water that, and this is why coal miners used to get it from sitting water. And they had the machines that would pump the air into these coal mines, but it would have condensation in it that would sit. And if it wasn't clean, it builds up with Legionnaires disease. So you get it in, you know, bubblers, public bubblers, you get it from air conditioning that hasn't been used in a long time. You get it from things like anything, steam room. As far as I know, that it was from the mist machine that was on the dance floor.
To be fair, the Playboy Mansion was seeing its last days at those last couple of conferences. We were closing her up. I expected this fancy place. I'm like, this thing is old. Like, this is old.
But it you could see it degrade because at the first time I remember it was actually really good.
Yeah.
And then it kind of degraded.
Yeah, it got a little old. The grotto looked a little well. I guess it was made in the 60s or 70s, so it looked its part.
The grotto, it seemed better days.
Brad, I don't. I think you had already exited or partially exited by the time we all got Legionnaires disease, right?
Fortunately for me, unfortunately for you guys, yes. I was living up in I was living up in Seattle at the time, starting a family. But I will say, to your point, JT, we're excited about Las Vegas just because it's institutionalized fun and very, very turnkey. We don't have to set up and have six people dedicated full time, round the clock, all year, just dedicated to one conference and one party. Super excited about that. Looking forward to seeing all you guys, a lot of you guys, and the overall industry, Web2 and Web3.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys are doing. Let's talk about D3. So what was, you know, and I know Shane had, you know, had and is still involved, you know, with the business. So, you know, what was the motivation there? I know you got an incredible team, and you guys are doing some really exciting stuff. So talk to us about what's happening.
Yeah, we started the, so me and Paul Stahura, we were scratching ideas on a napkin in late 2022. This is right around the time of the I Can't Contracted Parties meeting up in Universal City. So during the morning, he was scheduled to sit on the ICANN meeting talking about why he worries about fragmentation, name collision, and a lot of these topics like in Web3, Web2 that we had seen also kind of run their course in 2023 and also 2024, right? So we were having breakfast and I was like literally coaching him on like kind of like how I think about things, right? And what maybe to say. So we're really concerned about things like name collision from day one. Our general view on the previous wave of Web3 domains, I'll call them, or Web3 identifiers was, I mean, they're not domains. I mean, domains are like posh.com, yeah. Right? Domains have a dot system. Domains work on the DNS out of the box. Domains don't take, you know, a page of disclosures this long to explain what they are, how they work, and why they should be used, and how they're going to be renewed. We decided we got to fix this thing. Otherwise, it's incumbent on us to fix this and make sure that the internet is stable. So that was one inspiration. The second inspiration was ICANN is going to have a next gTLD round coming up next year. Everybody now, I think, knows, and I think the application guidebook is coming out sometime in May of this year. So that is the other thing that kind of came rolling. Now, crypto wasn't huge at this point, as everybody knows. Like late 2022, early 2023, I think you could probably characterize them as the last bear markets. But we believe, and I still believe, that crypto and Bitcoin is going to transform the world, much like AI. So we started D3 early 2023. Got a lot of my old band back together from overseas and also not overseas. And we would decided to just kind of do things on our term, raise enough sort of buffer capital, got enough smart people, got enough exciting communities in Web3, willing to say, okay, we're going to let you guys do our application for us, much like the ApeCoin DAO. So we're going to launch about Ape. And a lot more too soon to be announced. So that gets us pretty excited. The second reason we started D3 was because we wanted to tokenize assets, right? We wanted to build some standard protocols that people can ultimately trust. So the way that we do that is by working with the either owner of the domain or the registry operator. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, if IDA Digital comes along and says, okay, Fred, you can tokenize .ai. There's a trust in that, right? I can point to a smart contract that's sort of verified, much like I could point to like the Ape contract and be like, there's only one Ape contract that I will trust and plop down whatever 50 or 100 ETH for. Nothing else. Web3 is full of scams, so we call this authoritative tokenization and requires the owner or the operator of the TLD to sign off on. Mm-hmm. As opposed to any kid in South America or China, or even my own kids, being able to tokenize a contract, throw it out there on a marketplace, and who knows if this is real or not? Who knows if it's tied to the real asset or not? That's our definition of what's authoritative or not. And to do this, in our opinion, you have to kind of get to the, you have to establish trust at an industry-wide basis. You have to get to the people, you have to get to the provenance mm-hmm. of who actually runs and owns this stuff. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when you're talking about that from a domain standpoint, right? So you're saying, you know, and that originates at the registry level, right? For whoever effectively owns the ICANN accredited extension, right? Is that what we're saying? At least for this instance?
Oh yeah, for sure. So like, for example, when we create .ape, for example, we will control that registry on behalf of the ApeCoin DAO. Anybody who buys a .ape name at that point can trust this smart contract tied to that registry, much like they trust in Beep.
Mm-hmm,
right. And then similarly for the stuff that exists today, whether it's an IO or AI or even like a Verisign.com, they can do whatever they want, but we suggest a standard that we think is going to be universally like accepted.
Yeah. So let's talk about what the standard then, what kind of functionality does that then provide, right? So if you've tokenized a .ape domain, then it's, you know, you have functionality across, call it like Web2 and sort of Web3. you know, sort of spaces, right? Is that the ultimate goal so that I can use the site? I could develop a website. I could potentially release NFTs. Like what? So what, you know, what's the ultimate goal for an end user with respect to what you guys are doing with the tokenization of those domain names?
There's also a preemptive component to this, right? Like in, okay, you can get your .ape now, the Web3 token, and then that would entitle you, assuming that D3 is successful in obtaining the .ape ICANN extension, it would entitle you to the equivalent .ape domain name in the future, correct?
Yeah, exactly. The way I explained it to stakeholders, employees, investors is imagine it's 1992 and you had first dibs to get, you know, your .coms for network solutions for $100 through whatever fax method they have, you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
People, you know, like I call them expressions of interest. We don't call them domains. They're basically an NFT with a star, not dot, to give you the rights to claim a future domain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then when that happens,
like a placeholder.
Yeah. So that's kind of taking the step sort of off to the side for in this instance, because the TLD doesn't exist yet at the ICANN level, right? So what about for the ones that once it does, right? So then that's my question, once that happens and you have like your .ape domain, then, you know, I'm assuming I could put up a site on it. What else can I do with it? Tokenization, I could sell it more easily. How does some of that work? And, you know, what are those benefits?
Well, let's talk about an existing domain I have. I have a domain name called an AI name, robots.ai. I own that domain. Right? Wow. It's been a while. I bought it from Vince Cate, I think. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Vince Cate's registrar, but I bought it from like some Turkish researchers back in University of Turkey or something back in the mid-2010s. And, you know, I always held on to it. And I was just sitting in my portfolio and I couldn't really do anything with it because I didn't have the time, funding, you know, it's just sitting around as trapped equity, the trapped capital in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You asked me, JT, like what's the end goal and all this stuff? I think I would back up a little bit and just say, I generally think that the domain industry, while great and universally accepted and powers all humanity, there's large swaths of it sort of still stuck in the 90s. Whether it's 1990s or 1890s, whatever you can decide, right? slow settlement when you're trying to buy something, right?
No credit, high settlement. You know, a lot of issues.
Data fragmentation, like which appraisal services to trust or use. I was just on Shane's podcast last week talking about, you know, a number of other issues with, you know, various, like who's to trust what, you know, manual compliance and escrow. High commissions, right? A lot of things that have been largely solved in the real estate and also the securities markets over the past like 20 years. It's like, why can't we sort of build fast rails and infrastructure to unlock, you know, what we call $300 billion of trapped value in the domain industry and grow this thing to $2 trillion?
Mm.
I mean, mm-hmm. I'm watching a bunch of Web3 kids, you know, trade all kinds of shit coins and meme coins with no utility. Why can't we bring that into the real asset, just like real estate, right? And we've been saying this since Overseas day one. Domains are just like online real estate, if not better than real estate, because you don't have to deal with
the largest bottleneck, in my opinion, to the road to $2 trillion, is credit. I mean, there's just it's crazy that we literally are talking about the assets, the digital real estate that literally underpins, I don't know what the size of the global digital economy is, but 100% of it is founded upon the domain name system. And that domain name system, you know, we studied this at length. We hired this Oxford PhD that had specialized in how to create an objective value for real estate. And he came up with this formula that we then tested and applied to domain names to see if we think it works. And I believe it does. And so the best example to look at is the island of Manhattan. And so the island of Manhattan, I'm going to get the numbers wrong because number one, they're old. And number two, it's been a while since I did this. But just for the conversation's sake, I think it was like $1.7 trillion was the value of the island of Manhattan, just the land, okay? And then you look at what is the value of, I don't know if it's total real estate or commercial real estate, or I don't remember, but you look at the value of the real estate on that island of Manhattan, and it was roughly approaching the $1.7 trillion, or whatever the number really is. They were roughly the same. And then you look at the domestic production, the GDP, for example, of the island of Manhattan. What is the actual production, economic production of that piece of land and the businesses and the lives that are contained within it? And it's roughly approaching 1.7. It was like 1.4, right? And then the real estate value was like 1.6. And the island of Manhattan was like 1.7. And so what the thesis was is that over time, the foundation layer of that island, that piece of land that made up the Manhattan Island, all those numbers I think are reversed, okay? And it was the value of the actual underlying land will, over time, as the economics mature and growth stabilizes, the value of the underlying land will approach the total economic output of that which is upon the land, right? And domain names, in my opinion, are on exactly the same path. The island of Manhattan is one of the most mature economic centers on planet Earth. And so what you could say is that the only growth in value, or the only, let's say, actually ignore value, the only growth in price of real estate on the island of Manhattan is the result of inflation, monetary inflation. The economic output has basically matured. The growth has stabilized. And so now the underlying layer will begin to approach a stabilized value with its economic output. Domain names are extremely immature still, and you have even a relatively immature, but let's say further in the S-curve, developed digital economy, okay? And I don't know what that number is, but it's a very large number. The total digital output, the economic output of the digital economy worldwide, it's massive. I would venture to say it's probably to the tune of $20, $30 trillion a year, if I had to take a random guess.
I'll break it out for you. It's at least my AI assistant tells me. Global real estate market valued at $380 trillion in 2022. Yeah. Global bond market valued at $140 trillion. You know, the U.S. housing market alone, $50 trillion. So we're just talking about $2 trillion. $2
trillion. Just a little something.
Just the tip. The point is, though, is that if you look at the total digital economy that's happening on top of domains, that is ultimately, and that number is still growing because we're still in the S curve. Okay. So that number, that total digital output is still growing. Digital economic output is still growing. But even if we said that number had stabilized and it was here, the value of the domain names are way down and to the left relative. And so what you can do is extrapolate out and say, okay, that's the ski slope that we're going to climb. And so the value of these domain names has to grow. And the bottleneck to that growth is credit. And credit is inhibited by a lack of verification products and insurance products and trust. And so that's it. You solve those bottlenecks and then boom, we are off to the races. And we're probably on a path far beyond $2 trillion if we look out far enough, which maybe that's a 20, 30-year thing. But I would guess, I mean, ChatGPT can probably tell me. But you guys can wrap.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you, Fred. One of the most important things that we don't have in domains that we have in crypto is leverage. We can't leverage our assets. We can't borrow money to buy more. Good or bad, that's what grows a crypto market, is they borrow against a crypto to buy more crypto. Mm-hmm. It's just evolving. How it ends, and you can debate that all day, But that's how things grow. Stock market grows through leverage. Bond market grows through leverage. Everybody's leverage, leverage,
well,
leverage.
It, at the end of the day, productive leverage. Okay. Not,
yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
degen leverage, but productive leverage, what it does is basically it's just decentralizing risk. That's what it's doing. And so it's, okay, I want to take a risk. I don't have the capital, or I'm not willing to risk all my own capital. I'm going to borrow money. I'm going to decentralize that risk, you know, and then you're creating an economy in the process of chopping up the risk. And so that's where, you know, bonds and the equity and the blah, blah, blah. And so, yeah, okay, good. So you said 2 trillion. I was way off. Okay, so it's 15 to $20 trillion. The total digital economy worldwide, somewhere between 15 and $20 trillion. That is the end goal, right? Like that's the end point. That's where we're going in terms of domain values. The total domain market should be worth 15 to $20 trillion in the future. Now, I don't know if that's 10 years, 20 years in the future, but 2 trillion seems extremely achievable. And I don't even think it's that ambitious. And based on all of the research that we did about 5-6 years ago with this Oxford guy, to me, it's written in the cards. It's that's where we're going. That's, domains are that underlying piece of land. There is a digital economy being built upon it. And so, you know, we're ultimately going, as we mature, we are going to approach the same valuation as the economic output being produced on the land in which we own. So we're on a good path.
Yeah.
How are you going to get us there, Fred?
Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah. So we're going to do it by creating something called DomainFi. You know, we think that DomainFi will transform this industry. Why are we focused on DomainFi? Got to modernize this ancient-ish tech and rails, right? You can't get to 2 trillion without modernizing, you know, the railroad system or the telephone or communication system, right? Mm-hmm. Then we can then enable new forms of monetization. We can enable, I mean, yes, and there, JT, to your point, there are a number of companies in Web3 domains and also Web3 non-domains that talk about monetization, yield farming, DeFi, right? We talked to some communities where they're like, we don't have a product. Our token's the product. It's just for DeGen the speculator. It's like you gotta be able to produce some monetization channels for people on the Web2 side if Web3 liquidity will come in. And the third innovation, right? Like I said, if we build the right rails, the right tokenization, establish the right trusts, there should be 10 or 100 Afroniks. There should be 100 escrow.coms. Who cares, right? You've already mm-hmm. seen what the impact of stablecoins has done to disrupt global digital, making it just so much easier, convenient, secure for end users and orgs and businesses to transact, right? That type of efficiency can be built on top. That's our kind of DomainFi by vision.
Mm-hmm. Super cool. So
what?
Then,
let me ask you a little speculative question. So, I think we're all in agreement that, like, if we could get the domain world on those rails, wow, what a, you know, huge difference, night and day. Obviously, it's easier said than done. Obviously, we've got a lot of stubborn people in the industry at both the investor level, at the registrar level, at the registry level, at the ICANN level, you know, so. What do you think? Do you think that there is a future in which ICANN actually adopts a blockchain ledger-based infrastructure? Basically, either CANs VeriSign or you know, basically allows VeriSign to utilize a blockchain for the management of the domain root, DNS root?
I don't think it's... I don't think it's hard as people think. I think it's just common sense. I was lucky enough to be invited.
It is common sense, but ICANN is not necessarily common sense.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Again, I do not represent ICANN, but I have been lucky enough to be invited by ICANN to speak at ICANN 81 in Istanbul back just a couple months ago. by Paul Hoffman from the Office of the CTO. I was actually pleased to hear that we of all these Web3 companies have some of the most alignment with how ICANN thinks about this, right? It's all about DNS, the source of truth. We're very mindful about things like name collision. Ultimately, what we got from that, I even sent a thank you note to Paul afterwards. And it was like, we love the fact that you guys think that it's just all about community acceptance and then traction in the marketplace, right? Anybody can propose, and we didn't get the sense that ICANN is going to say yay or nay to stuff. They're just going to look at community feedback and what's working in the market.
That's very encouraging. That's literally exactly what I would want to hear from a pragmatic and logical body that's governing an industry like domains, is that we're going to look to the community for acceptance and we're going to look to the marketplace for adoption. That is, you know, that's music to my ears.
We are encouraged because our approach so far seems to be resonates with us and with ICANN's Office of the CTO, because we address a system that's more aligned with ICANN's own Office of the CTO when it comes to DNS compatibility and mitigating things like name collision. And secondly, like, we're encouraged because ICANN's not some sort of big bad wolf. They publish all their stuff pretty openly, and they're just about supporting the community. If a community generates enough, generates a proposal, it's seen as adopted by the industry with real traction. I think that's the way to basically make sure that ICANN can get more in line with something and not torpedo something, right? Allow something,
yeah,
that works.
I'm encouraged, and I said the same thing. So, you know, Unstoppable is a sponsor. We've had Matt on the show. Drew is also an investor in Unstoppable. And when we had Matt on the show talking about, you know, they're following somewhat of a similar pattern, you know, I feel like the high-level Web3 domain companies have all recognized and understand the need to work sort of within, in some conjunction with the ICANN framework, to understand that, you know, because really tying Web2 to Web3 and coming up with the right balance and the right interoperability or whatever it is really the key to this broad adoption, use, and success ultimately. And I think that's, to
if
me,
there's
I think
no standard, if there's no standard, it's over. Like, it's over before it even started, because name collisions are inevitable. And, you know, I thought that the whole dot wallet thing highlighted the whole thing perfectly. It was like,
yeah,
you know, can't we all just get along? And it's like, it's just business. I remember some of these freaking domain people, you know what I mean? It was like, I love you, Sider, but you said some real socialist shit on Twitter the other day. And I had to call you out. But like, you know, there's a few people in the domain industry that love to throw out some real socialist bullshit. It's like, oh, we can all get along. We can all compete. And we're not going to compete. We're going to cooperate. And then it's like, hell no. This is business. It's a freaking knife fight. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. Like, you know, and I'm bringing the knife. So, you know, you gotta, you know,
we got knives, exactly, and hatchets.
Like, here to play. You know what I'm saying?
2025.
Like, we are not here to make friends.
It's an East LA knife fight.
That's it. So the point is that, you know, you got a lot of people that bought into this hype thinking that, you know, we could all just get along. And the fact is that if there's an opportunity to exploit, it will be exploited. And if there is a collision to be had, one will be had. Because if a name space is having any degree of success on one chain, somebody else will launch it on another chain. And then somebody else will launch it on the same chain. And then you'll have, if you don't have a standard, it literally falls apart before it even starts. And it seems so obvious, but there is an awful lot of people that didn't understand that. I think more and more are coming around to it, but it is literally the cornerstone.
Well, and I think that there's something to be said. Well, go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, but I think to me, it's, you know, telling that, in my opinion, you know, when you, and you know, you look at the best, at some point, you're trying to get ahead of the curve, right? So that, you know, that's where a lot of opportunity is. But, you know, you're betting on teams at times, and you're betting on visions and things like that. And I do think that what we consider to be some of the best teams that are doing in this space, you know, are approaching it in a similar way. And again, I'm encouraged by that because I think that that to me was always the thing that I felt like there needs to be a backbone that ties it to. You can't completely ignore the Web 2 need, the real world, you know, that piece of it. Otherwise, it is all speculation and degen activity, which
it's just hopium. All in
well, you know, Drew is not for the rainbows and butterflies. Out on it's obviously
buying
like
the good names. They're like, oh, I got my next chance on Handshake, and it's like, yeah, good luck with that.
No, well, I explained it to someone the other day of what decentralization is. Decentralization now has turned into the self checkout at the supermarket. So everybody wanted to decentralize until they had a problem, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the supermarket, you can check yourself out, but if you got a problem, there's an 18-year-old standing in the corner to help you with the problem. That's what the world wants. They want to do whatever they want. They want decentralization, but they want somebody to give them a hand in case all hell breaks loose. And that's what we've gotten to. You do whatever you want to do. It's going to be lots of rails. It's going to be freedom. But if you have a little problem, we can bail you out and then you can get back to work. It's a supermarket checkout system. That's how it's going to work.
And also speaking of checkouts, I remember at NamesCon, I can't remember if it was 2023 or 22 or something. I went up to the CETO booth. I was like, hey, what's up? What's up, bro? How's your Web3 domains working? He's like, we had to pull them all. I was like, hey, tell me about that. He's like, well, they're causing a customer service nightmare, you know? They bought something like, I don't know, dot bullshit or something. And like your poor customer is calling and saying, I want to set up email and website on dot whatever dot bullshit. They're like, oh, I'm sorry. No. No, it's not this, not that. Fuck you. I want my return. I want a return. Yeah. And so it's very, very clear to us. We call it internally. We have so many internal means, right? You don't even, I mean, Shane knows. We talk about real assets, fake assets, real Rolex. Fake Rolex. My wife is only into real Gucci. Don't even try to sell her a fake Gucci. It's like, but
yo, again, but that's a terrible example. That's a bad example because you know the fake Gucci is actually made by Gucci.
I'm just talking about the stuff that laid out on the New York streets. You know what I mean?
But that shit's made by Gucci. So in the other brands, that's not the case. But the Gucci family. They realized that the black market was even bigger than the actual market for the luxury product. And they were getting undercut. They had all these people making the products in China or in Vietnam. And they were, you know, undercutting their product, taking some portion of the market away from them. And at a minimum, even if they weren't losing some of their market, because it is a different market, usually there's very little overlap between the people that want the fake and want the real. But still, it was diluting the brand, and they weren't getting paid. And so they said, shit, let's just make it ourselves. And so they just said, all right, we're going to have some portion of the product that's going to be in the fake market, the black market, and we're going to have some portion of the stuff. And this was all private, but it came out in like the 90s that Gucci was making the fake shit and the real shit, just pricing it different.
You know, that's a good point. I think what also, too, is that the repercussions of having a fake Gucci or real Gucci are like, okay, fine, whatever. It's not going to be life-changing. The repercussions of having, you know, real versus fake internet infrastructure.
I mean, got a problem.
Paul Stahura's like to say this sometimes. Like, satellites will fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
Yes. Humanity systems and communications would break down. I mean, you can just go on and on, right?
Big shout out to Paul, by the way.
Shout out to Paul.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for you.
Gucci story is crazy. That's one of those where I know I'm coming off of the holidays where we watched National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, but that's like, you serious, Clark? You know, when he's like, you know, because he's like saying, hey, Santa's been spotted, already taken off. He's like,
Yeah, go fact check that. Gucci. I don't know if they still do it. Probably not, because now it's a public company.
That's actually a great business model, where if you have a high enough, like, sort of, you know, level brand, and you got people that are bootlegging your stuff, just get out ahead of the bootleggers. Do a better job bootlegging.
I have a friend that makes these, like, I don't know, they do partnerships with Supreme and something. It's like a luggage type of thing. It's for shopping, but it's like, it's got wheels and stuff. But anyways, they do all these like limited editions and people are into it. It's an LA, New York thing. And they have a problem with people are just knocking it off and then selling it on Amazon. And he's like, I'm going crazy. You know, we're spending so much money on takedowns. And I was like, if you can't beat them, join them. I was like, just start making your own fakes and then sell that shit on Amazon for the same price or lower. And, you know, that's what he's doing now. That's where it's at.
That's gangster. All right. So then Fred and I guess Shane to some degree. So what's next as far as like, all right. So obviously the upcoming new ICANN TLD round is going to be big, and there's going to be a lot of stuff that you guys are doing there. You've got the Dot Ape, you got the support of the ApeCoin DAO. Are you guys selling Dot Ape domains yet? When are they live? What else is it into in the short term? And then let's talk about Dominion.
Yeah, I'll start in the middle point. Like Ape domains, we don't sell Ape domains. And domains to us, again, people ask me, why do you use this star? Because I'm like, I'm not selling a domain with a dot till it becomes a real domain. We call them Ape names. And there's a cute little avatar you can visit
I love it. Yeah, I love the branding stuff that you guys are doing around that. I love it. I mean, it's so cool.
x.com/apenames or visit apenames.com. I'd say broadly before Dominion, we're trying to focus on education to this industry. And it's going to take years. That's not overnight, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Education, trust, and successful case studies. Like people using it. It actually make a material difference to domainers out there that we all kind of like know and stuff. If it works for them, then we're like, aha, we've made it. Until that, we're still a scrappy startup, and I'm going to continue to wear my t-shirts and stay in non-fancy hotels until it happens, you know? And then Dominion, before I jump into there, Shane, feel free to add if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, it's a transition like this takes a lot of education and words. And, you know, Fred knows I'm on him all the time about showing people stuff. Like we've done a really good job talking about it, but the exciting part will be when there's a product for them to test out and start playing with and seeing that. And that'll be really exciting. But to get to that point is a lot of work. And you're bridging two incredibly large, you know, historic entities. You're talking Web2 and you're talking crypto, and them on their own are incredible groups. That bridging those two is going to take a hell of a bridge, mm-hmm. bridge. It only can be pulled off by very, very, very few people in the world. And so that's a big lift. And Fred knows that, but he's got the team to do it. But it is a lot of work, and it's a lot of education. It's a lot of these things. That's why you're going to see Fred and everybody on talking about it. I think it's working. I do think that people understand the difference between a wallet address and a domain. I really feel that.
I can speak about it tangentially, because from the brokerage perspective, you know, when the crypto market is in a bull market, the crypto industry is buying domain names. And so we're selling a lot of names into the crypto industry, and I can say that conversation is getting easier and easier with each passing year, and particularly with each passing cycle. This cycle is far more easy than the last cycle, and they understand. In the last cycle, there was a lot of literally one of the questions that people would ask me is, well, isn't Web3 domains going to supplant Web2 domains, and shouldn't the prices be coming down because they have, you know, the tile? And it's like, no, dude, no. Like, I can tell you, I will bet everything I have, you will never be able to resolve your homepage on your freaking Ethereum domain or your Handshake domain or whatever. It's not happening. So that question is no longer being asked. People understand there is a difference. I'm not going to say that everybody has given up their hopium. Some people are still hitting the pike, but for the most part, people get it that Web2 domains are where it's at. They are the only domains, and everything else is an identifier that may or may not point to a real domain.
Yeah, I mean, you saw a lot of like subdomains and a lot of in the currencies or on the tokens, .bay something. It's just a holding. Like it's a name, it's a holding, and people do realize that. This last quarter was a big jump, whatever the reasoning, and I think, you know, D3 had a lot of it in the other web companies. But the last quarter, I noticed people saying, how do I get involved in real domains? They got excited about Web3 was good. They saw the money that was had of flipping .eth and these other ones, and they saw the potential in just that. So now they see real domains and say, hold on, I really enjoyed doing that before. If I can own a real asset, how do I participate? That was last quarter. That was the first time my DMs were starting to light up. And that's what the future is. I think the people that really enjoyed, I think it was kind of a gateway drug of flipping these handles because they really didn't care what the asset was. They just liked the ability to buy and sell. And domains will offer that same opportunity with a real asset. So I think we're making headroads into all of this. And I think the Web3 companies as well, right? We talked about the other ones that were decentralized web companies. What are they doing now? They're becoming registrars. They're starting to be involved in signing affiliate deals with Web2 companies. They're seeing the pathways as well are still. So I think it's really exciting, but it's going to take more of that. But I also, and then the one thing I'll throw in there, and I've said this on a couple of X Spaces and podcasts, when we were in Singapore, Fred and team and I were talking to blockchain companies and discussing the opportunities of the assets we had. The builders were extremely excited because the NFT trading is dead. The assets underlying, we're starting to get into U.S. Securities, which are a big no-no in the U.S. You're going to have to be overseas. So they're running out of assets to bring on. They're talking about real-world assets, but we're into like painting and shoes. There's domains. And when they heard the possibility of bringing that market and all these builders having that underlying asset to build on, they wanted to know what the rails are, how they could get a hold of them, what they could build on. And that's what D3 is. Those are the rails that they can build on in the future. So you're seeing the want, which is most important. You're seeing the underlying asset is there, which is super important. Now it's just a matter of putting it all together. So that's what I'm most excited about.
Yeah, well, and I think there's also a further convergence of momentum around crypto, right? You know, just in, you know, especially in the U.S. And you see, you know, with potentially some of the stuff that the Trump administration is going to be a lot more crypto friendly. You know, obviously Bitcoin's doing what it's doing. And, you know, so I think that when you make, so the Web3 and crypto aspects are also very, very important, driving a lot of the interest. And kind of to Fred's point before, you've got billions of dollars being traded in these meme coins and these shit coins with literally zero utility involved at all. It's all just, hey, you know, you have, you know, unicorn fart dust, which I actually think is kind of cool. I like that dude a lot. And, but the point is just based off of just narratives, right? And the idea that, hey, a bunch of people are just going to keep buying and then, you know, this, you know, just the way people buy it in Dogecoin, hoping that Elon, you know, somehow ties it into their initiatives around government efficiency and stuff to drive that even further, right? So it's, again, it's the convergence of momentum around, you know, excitement and opportunity around further around crypto tied to, you know, again, what I think is a really important piece of this, which is having it interoperable with the existing system to create standards that make sense and make it actually work. Right. And then with everything that you guys are then doing, effectively just bring it all together because, you know, there's value also in, you know, in all the, in the wallet and the utility around wallets and the functionality that can be driven. And once you start building in AI and some of this other stuff, like it's like trying to tie it all together into something that works, that people want, that people need, that people will pay and invest money into. And, you know, it comes together in cool ways. It's just, you know, the future is bright. So all the way live in 2025.
That's everybody wants you to deliver, right? The Web2 wants you to deliver new customers and they want you to deliver all the excitement that blockchain and crypto that they hear about. And then the crypto and that they want you to deliver the Web2 side. So there's got to be
a real asset. They just want you to deliver a real asset.
A real asset. And so that's what it is. Can you deliver? And that's what D3's doing, delivering. So
it's like
it's really important.
Yeah, I love it.
It's like web two people want all the liquidity of web three.
Yeah.
Right. And all the web three people want something that's like real.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, it's just it seems to come together, I think, come pretty well. And I think JT, you asked like also like what's in the plan for Dominion.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, it's going to be January 29th to 30th. I will shill a little bit here. You can scrub it if you want, but it,
Do. We allow our guests to come on and promote their stuff. Plus, I think Dominion is super cool. So first, real quick, just to lead into this, so we've got the ICA meeting that's taking place in Las Vegas. So for anybody, I mean, that's happening, you know, a few days before Dominion. So I don't know. What are the, do you guys have the ICA dates offhand by any chance?
January 27th and 28th.
Okay.
It's on a Monday and Tuesday.
You know,
and,
so obviously
Resorts World.
Yep. And then for you guys, then you guys have Dominion happening immediately, kind of overlapping and then following, right?
Yeah. Yeah. With of course the grace and, you know, permission of our, you know, friends over at ICA, we wanted to make sure that we can capture some of the audience. And a lot of that audience is super interested in, you know, this graceful way to kind of bridge Web3, right? ours will happen January 29th and 30th, the core dates. We have super exciting, reputable founders and CEOs. We have CEO of Team Internet. We have CEO of Atom.com, CEO of Internet X, Sam Dennis, CEO of Domain Easy. We have Andrew Allen.
Shout out, Sam.
Do some moderating.
Okay, cool.
We're not,
yeah, are you guys, is it at the same place?
Two cows. It's going to be Resorts World.
Yeah, so it's all, yeah, so anybody who's going to ICA really should be sticking around for Dominion. And, you know, and even if folks can't make it to the ICA days, they should get there for Dominion. Where do they go to get more information? I don't want to make it sound like an infomercial, but tell me more, you know, like, but for real, like, where do they find out, like, the details?
Yeah, just go to dominion.domainfi.com.
Okay.
Dominion.domainfi.com.
Okay.
And we will send you guys a special 30% off coupon code as well, even though it's
nice
for you guys to send to your audiences, even though we're kind of beyond early bird.
Yep.
Yeah, like I said, we're focused on education, establishing trust. Not going to be a Playboy Mansion party, but it will be pretty fun. There's going to be great food. There's going to be great drinks. There's going to be great dinners. Much cheaper than Playboy Mansion.
And you won't get Legionnaires.
Yeah, no Legionnaires.
You won't get no LD. No LD.
Yeah.
Right. There's unions in the town.
Yo, I love it.
Even though after surviving, it does make for a great cocktail party story.
This is a good story.
Sure. I got a viral disease at the Playboy Mansion.
Yeah. I mean,
everybody wants to know more about that story when I leaked that. And I'll point on too, in Dominion, I did not work with Fred at the time of Dominion. I just went to Dominion because I heard some people were going there. What's great about this conference is that they're forward thinkers, right? They're people that want to know more, the people that want to explore. And last year, it was the most eclectic group of people I've ever been around, from the group at Core, like from the blockchain people that attended to the just, I mean, again, there was some eccentric, brilliant people there that are, you know, they think they're going to change the world tomorrow, which is great. I love to hear people that think they're going to do it tomorrow because they're really pushing it. And that's what was great about Dominion. I love the domain conferences, don't get me wrong, but we all know we go there mostly to see our friends. Most of the speakers are literally just a circle jerk of us talking to each other. That's just how it goes. And what Fred did before was we got speakers. We had Kim Kardashian, we had Ben Masaryk, we had Tim Ash. We had people that were outside of our conference.
With Anthony Shea. Yep.
Yeah. Catholic. We had people that really gave us another perspective that maybe didn't know our industry, but we're trying to bridge it. And I think I think we need more of that. And Dominion kind of offered that. Last year, Lily Liu was there from Solana and Frederick from Cardano. Those are the kind of people I want to hear about. Like I want some outsiders to talk a little bit more about how they think they can change us. So I think
maybe not Cardano.
Well, Cardano's like talking to your grandfather of crypto, right?
Like, yeah, it's like, you know, yeah, exactly. You're taking a sippy pill.
No, but I think that's great.
In general, it was good.
Well, and I think that, you know, Fred, I like the way you said it. You know, it's this graceful bridge, this elegant bridge is really kind of what's needed between, you know, Web 2, Web 3, and, you know, what you guys are doing both as a company and then even with the conferences, some of the same sort of stuff is like really trying to figure out how to best tie that together, because the needs are there and the interest is there. The momentum is building. It's just, how do you do it right? You know, and I think that moving away from rainbows and butterflies, which Drew is allergic to, you know, and getting more into the real nuts and bolts over like, why do I care? You know, why am I, you know, why am I interested? Who, what's going to bring people to actually want to spend money and invest money? And, you know, and it is funny though. It's like, we're trying to bring them to something real versus.
Well, one side has all the money and no value, and one side has all the value and no money.
Exactly. So one thing I would say is it's case studies. You're going to see some pretty awesome demos. People you know doing domain fi successfully.
Awesome.
If we could do that times 3 times 10 at and post conference, we'll then see it as a success. Going back to also Shane's point, show me, don't tell me. This is just like Overseed 2003. I just want my fucking parking to go up. I don't care how. Oh, you're not going to give me another dime? Fuck you. I'm going to go to this other provider. You know what I mean? It is cutthroat for a really good reason.
Yeah,
that's why today's episode is going to be called Domains and Knife Fights, you know. So that's the but yeah, no, all good stuff. I'm excited. I think it's gonna be great. So all right, cool. Bring a knife to a domain fight. But yeah, let's get it. All right, well, that's what's up. Well, we're almost out of time, so real like sort of last kind of quick round robin, anything else, Drew, anything on your end before we close up here?
I'm gung-ho and excited about all this. I'm excited about 2025 in general, but I think this is going to be a very exciting year for this evolution of what we've been seeing, where it was, you know, let's say complete fugazi, you know, from 2015 to 2019, it was basically total fugazi. Then there was like, okay, now we got like, you know, utility with wallet names and identifiers. And then it was like, okay, now we actually are tying these into real domain names and making them basically like a placeholder or a call option or at a minimum, just an identifier. I think we're making huge progress. And I think when we get these standards in place and we have ready acceptance in the marketplace, I think it's going to be an exciting time. I mean, look, you could say whatever, anybody can say whatever they want about, you know, the Web3. I wish there was never a term Web3 domains, because it's exactly what Fred says. It's not domain. And so that I think actually set the whole industry back, unfortunately, but because this words matter, people get a perspective. The first touch with this stuff matters, because first impressions matter. But nonetheless, it is the logical progression that this industry will take. And so I'm excited to watch it happen. Maybe it's this cycle, maybe it's the next one, but it is inevitable. And every step of the way will be better incrementally for everybody in the industry. So I am excited to see how this all rolls out. And I'm very sad that I unfortunately can't make it to Dominion, but I do think it'll be a great event, and I wish you guys all the best. Glad to be along a little bit for the ride.
Yeah. No, I think that all makes sense, man. Yeah. Establishing the, you know, the rails, as Shane said. So with that, Shane, what about you, man? Anything else on your end?
Yeah, I'll be at Dominion. I'm coming in a little late to ICA because it's a long week in Vegas. It takes a lot out. It's a draining week. So I decided to lean heavier into the Dominion side of it so that I can spend some time with Fred and team. But yeah, I mean, I've made a lot of money participating, right? And participating early and sticking with it. And, you know, same with domains. I couldn't go all in when I got it, but I stuck with it and spent a little time. And I think that's how it's going to work on this other side of DomainFi. And we're going to be rewarded for sticking with it and working with it and figuring out how to leverage our assets. And patience is going to be required. Not everybody has that. So I think not using that to try and stall. It's just a reality of what we said. These are big islands we're trying to bridge here. And so it's going to take some time.
Look, it's, again, you know, same was said about Bitcoin. The same thing was said about domain name. It's little by little and then all at once, right?
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's little by little, but we're getting closer to the all at once, right? You know, the river flow fills up, and it hits a certain tipping point and it creates a waterfall. And so we are, you know, the river's pretty full. You know what I mean? It's been flowing for a while now, and people are trying to swim against the current, and it's getting higher and higher. I think that all at once point is not that far away. So
I agree. The wants there, like the behind the door are people waiting to come into the shop. You know, you can see them. You peek out the door and you're like, okay, these people want in. So just got to open that store.
Can I just say one quick thing takeaway for this episode that I want, just because of the understanding I have of what people misunderstand about this whole thing. People need to stop thinking about the original narrative of Web3 domains being a competition for Web2. This Web3 infrastructure, these Web3 rails, are an enhancement for all of your Web2 domains. This is the best possible thing that can happen to your OG TLD domain names, okay? The best thing that can possibly happen is for them to have the ability to be tokenized to create increased liquidity, increased fulfillment, rapid payments, instantaneous fulfillment, like everything we need, lending, credit, all of that can be now accomplished on these rails. And so the success of D3 and this tokenization, whether it's D3, Unstoppable, anybody else, anybody that is pushing forward the tokenization of domain names, not as a competitor, it's just an enhancement of the domains you already have. That's what people need to realize. The original narrative was that this was these were going to supplant domains. These were going to replace domains. These were going to, none of that is true. None of that will ever be true. This is just an evolution of the domains we already have, an enhancement that will increase their value, increase their liquidity, and increase the available, let's say, infrastructure.
The freedom to transact. It will increase the freedom to transact.
Yeah,
that's what we're having. And I won't have to go into a website of a company owned by another company and re-log in and then put a verification code into my thing to prove to the company that I'm within the company that I actually own the domain that they already know I own. Like those processes are all be eliminated. But the freedom to transact, to do all these things with the assets that we can't do, that are the rails are individually owned. And we need to make them more available to everyone. So I'm right there with you, all of you.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, Fred. Well, last but not least, man, and then we're out of time. So anything that hasn't been...
Nope. Besides slow, we've seen from D3s, our mantra is slow, steady, consistent, and real wins the race.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing. Agreed. Consistent, real, and continuing to move ahead forward at whatever pace is required, you know? So easy to promise all sorts of stuff. It's obviously a lot harder to actually deliver on it. So that's where, you know, that's where the real substance is. So, all right, well, with that, thank you so much, Fred, and thank you, Shane and Drew, as always, for spending the time. And to the audience, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll send out the discount. Fred, just email me that. We'll put it into our the newsletter with this show that'll go out when the show drops Thursday. And so that way we'll get that out to everybody. So hopefully people can take advantage of that. But to the audience, thank you guys so much for tuning in. As I say on every show, without you, there is no us. We appreciate you guys taking the time with us. And, you know, we're all the way live in 2025. And it's going to be a super exciting year as just continued developments all over the place, not even outside of domains, AI. There's just a lot of crazy, wild stuff happening. It's going to be a wild ride. Keep your head up. Hold on tight. And, you know, look out for one another. I always like to kind of kick it with a little bit of like human, you know, cooperation and care, you know, it does get crazy out there.
Yeah. That note, right. Knives out.
Knives out. Oh, that'll be the name of the show. Knives Out. I love that. That was actually a very good movie. I didn't like the second one, but the first one was awesome. But I don't want to get into that. We don't have a lot of time. We can't turn it into It is tangent positive, but we're out of time. So, hey, thanks again to the guests. Thanks again to the audience. We'll see everybody next time here on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. We'll see you all soon. Thanks for jumping down the rabbit hole with us. Peace.